Our New Testament reading today comes from Matthew 3, 1 through 12, which can be found on page 836 through 837 in your pew Bibles. And this is how it reads. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume and say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord.
Forgot to mention, if there are any children, they can go to the classrooms if they so wish this time. If not, we will go to our second reading, which is the Old Testament reading, and that will be coming from the book of Isaiah, which is found on page 595. We'll be reading from the 11th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 10. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. "Then shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees, by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." In that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a sign to the peoples. Him shall all nations seek, and the dwellings shall be glorious. The word of the Lord. This is Advent, the second Sunday in the season of Advent. One of the things I like about Advent is that it reminds us, all of us, that God has a dream. God has a dream for us. God has a dream for you, and God has a dream for me, and God has a dream for the whole world. And that's important to remember, not just during the season of Advent, but it's important to remember for every season and every time especially during those difficult moments in our lives when the future appears to be closed down and everything seems dark and uncertain. It's during those times that we need to especially remember that God has a dream. God has a dream for us, for all of us. I know that this time of year can be especially difficult for many of us. This is the time of year when feelings of loss are felt most keenly, whether we're talking about the loss of our health or the loss of a job or the loss of someone we love or the loss of a relationship or the loss of hopes and dreams. During this time, we feel loss most keenly. But it's during this time, too, that we need to remember that God has a dream. God has a dream for the world. I was reading this week about a woman who knows a great deal about loss. In 1975, she was involved in a terrible automobile accident, the result of a drunk driver who crossed the center lane and hit her car head on. Her husband and 21-month-old child were killed. She was pregnant at the time, and both her and the baby she was carrying inside of her survived the crash. But in many ways, she too had died. The hopes and dreams that she had for herself and for her family all died on that fateful day, in that fateful tragedy. But it was in the midst of her deep grief and loss that someone told her that God had a dream. God had a dream for her, a dream of new purpose, a dream that could transform her suffering and pain and loss and bring healing, healing to herself, healing to others, and healing for the whole world. At first, she didn't believe it. In fact, she couldn't believe it. Her pain was just too great, too deep. But slowly and painfully, she began to turn her life towards God and God's dream for her and God's dream for the world. And God began to transform her and transform that pain that she felt deep down inside of her heart. And use her as an instrument of God's love and presence in the lives of many, especially many women undergoing grief, the grief of loss. 40 years later, she is still quite active as an author and as a conference director and as a person who, as an instrument of God, brings comfort and peace to many, because she turned her heart in the midst of her loss to God's dream for her. Whatever loss you may be feeling this Advent season, please know that God has a dream for you as well. God loves you. God wants to draw you close and engulf you with God's love. God wants to transform your brokenness and your loss into something beautiful, something that is healing for yourself and for others, something that glorifies God. Sometimes, and I'm not saying this happens all the time, but sometimes it is in our loss, in our pain, in our suffering, that our hearts are especially careful to hear God's dream for us and to hear where God might be wanting to lead us. But God's dream is not just for individuals. God's dream is bigger than that. God's dream is a dream for the whole world. And that's what our text from Isaiah this morning is about. Scholars are not certain of the historical circumstances that gave rise to the writing of Isaiah 11. But they believe that it might have had to do with the Babylonian captivity that took place about 500 years before the birth of Jesus. The Babylonians swept down on Judah and totally destroyed the nation, including Jerusalem. The gates of the city were torn down. The houses were torn down. The magnificent first temple built by Solomon was torn down. It was all razed to the ground, all burned. dismantled. But even more devastating than all of that, the Babylonians put an end to the Davidic monarchy, the monarchy that God had promised would last forever, that house of David, in which the people found their identity, came to an end. It was a terrible, terrible loss. Little Judah was like a tree that had been cut down. No more promise, no more hope, no more future. All that was left was just an old stump. The roots still in the ground, but the tree itself was dead, was finished. An old stump, good for nothing. But it's in the midst of this deep sense of loss that God shared God's dream with his people. And God told them about that dream, that even though they were devastated, that even though they couldn't see the future, that even though the king that was the repository of their identity, even though all of that was over, God still had a dream for them and for the whole world. God's dream was a new leader, a new king, a king of justice and righteousness, a king that would have God's spirit all over him. A spirit of counsel, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of fear and knowledge of the Lord. A king whose heart would be for the people, especially for those who were the most vulnerable. God's dream for his people and for the world was for that kind of king, that kind of leader. And God shared God's dream of a new world, a world of justice and peace. A world where there was no more war, no more violence, no more the strong preying on the weak. A world where even nature itself becomes transformed. A world where the lion lays down with the lamb and where a child can play in the most dangerous areas and still be protected. That's God's dream. God's dream for the whole world. We Christians, of course, hold that the first part of that dream, that that new leader, that new king that God promised, is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who came in our midst. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the righteous king who came to save us. Jesus is the one who had God's spirit all over him. And Jesus is God's dream for us in flesh, God's dream that dwelt among us in our midst. It is that dream in the Lord Jesus Christ that came the first time. It is that dream of his coming again that we await this day, this Advent season. Many of us don't have any problems with that part of the dream, but where we as Christians often get hung up is the second part of that dream, that world of justice and peace. Because let's be honest, our world looks nothing like that. Our world looks nothing like that world of justice and peace that the prophet Isaiah lays out. In fact, if we were to characterize our world, I would say that our world looks more like that old stump of Jesse that the prophet talked about. An old stump where the future seems cut off. An old stump where there's no more hope. An old stump that is devoid of any kind of purpose. All this week I was listening to my radio every night. I have a bad habit of leaving the radio on at night to hear the news, and it's always usually discomforting news, the news of Aleppo in Syria falling under the barrage of Russian artillery and air power, the news of new tensions in Ukraine, the news of war and drone strikes and military assaults in Mosul and Iraq. After 15 years of war, the war continues. The news of violence in our streets and disunity in our country. Everywhere, news that would suggest the world quite different from the one that the prophet is telling us about. And so when I read these texts from Isaiah, sometimes I'm tempted to dismiss them because they seem so fantastic. They seem so unreal. Can we really expect that kind of world? And when we hear that characterization about lions laying down with lambs and no hurt on God's holy mountain, we are tempted to project that as being something way out into the future. Or perhaps we're tempted to simply suggest that it's something that happens at the end of our lives when we die and go to heaven, and there in heaven the lion will lay down with the lamb and the vulnerable in our midst will be able to live lives of security. But God's dream for us is a dream for right now. The dream that God has for us is not just a dream in the future. It's not just a dream that we can expect in the future, but it is a dream for us right now. God wants us to begin to live into that dream right now and to turn our lives towards that dream right now. That's what John the Baptist meant when he said, "Repent. Repent." When we hear the word repent, we often think of something negative. We think about apologizing for all the bad things that we have done. But repent means to turn our lives around and to turn our lives towards God's dream. God's dream for us. God has a dream. A dream for you. A dream for me. A dream for the whole world. God wants nothing more than for God's dream to become our dream. And I am convinced that before God's dream can become a reality in our world, that we first must turn our lives and our hearts towards God's dream, that we are called to embrace that dream and to live into that dream. In order for God's dream to be manifested in our world, it must first be manifested in our own hearts, and we must be willing to live into that dream. The prophet talks about a new shoot, a green shoot coming out of the old stump, a green shoot coming out of the stump of Jesse, new possibility for living in the world. And we often concentrate on all the bad things that are happening in the world, but as a pastor, I often have an opportunity to hear and to see all of the good things that are happening in the world. People who are engaged in doing good and living into God's dream. I have the opportunity to hear about people who devote themselves to homeless people, who go out and try to find housing for homeless and comfort homeless people. I hear about people who go abroad, doctors bringing their services to war-torn areas of the world like Syria and Iraq at a great cost to their lives. I hear about Christians who devote their lives to looking after the poor and advocating for the poor. I hear about Christians who take the time to make provisions and boxes for homeless children around the world. I hear about Christians who are not afraid to share what they have of their time and their resources in order to make God's dream a reality, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of others. I hear about Christians like that woman that I talked about earlier, who in the midst of her own pain and loss dedicated her life to bringing comfort to others, especially other people who are grieving. Maybe that doesn't sound very impressive to you this morning. All it is just a shoot, just a little green shoot coming out of a stump, an old dead stump. But that's the way God always works. God always works from the old dead stumps. God often works when the future appears to be closed down. God often comes through when it seems that all hope is gone, when there is no more promise. That is when God comes through. You and I this morning are part of that green shoot, just a shoot, a little green shoot. But Jesus tells us that's the way the kingdom of God comes, like a small little mustard seed. Starts out real, real small, but then it grows and it grows and it grows. That's the way the kingdom comes. In the midst of a world that is so entrenched in loss, in the midst of a world that has lost its imagination, in the midst of a world that doesn't know how to live, you and I are called to be that green shoot springing forth out of the old dead stump. I'm often reminded, as a pastor, of that biblical quote that without a vision, people perish. And that is true. We need vision. There's no vision, people perish, people die. Oftentimes that verse is quoted to pastors, sometimes with a spirit of indictment about our lack of vision. But the good news is that God has already given us a vision. We don't need a vision. We don't need to reinvent the vision. God has already given us the vision. God has given us God's own dream. God's own dream for us. God's own dream for the world. What God is looking for are people who are just crazy enough, people who are just desperate enough, people who are broken enough to turn their lives towards God's dream and make God's dream their own dream. That's why we're here during this season of Advent. That's why we take the time this Sunday in a world that is filled with darkness. We are here to bear testimony to God's dream for us. God has a dream for you. God has a dream for me. God has a dream for the whole world. May we continue to live into God's dream. Let us pray. Christ, you have filled us with the light of your love. Holy Father, you have given us the gift that matters most for our world. Holy Spirit, you empower us to go forward, living into the promise of God's coming future. Help us to live into your dream. Help us in the midst of all that we hear, of a world of violence, a world of debt, the world of disappointment, a world of deep and abiding loss. Help us to hear the stunning good news that you have a dream for all of us. And help us this day to follow your dream, the dream of your kingdom in our midst. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.